Good morning, friends. I'm Jeremy Africa, the lead pastor here at Midland First United Methodist Church. As pervasive as the heat has been this week, as pervasive as the smoke has been this week, we know that God's goodness is even more pervasive than all. And so glad to have this opportunity to worship together. Whether you're inside the sanctuary with us or you're joining us on the church's live stream, if you're looking at the worship slides ahead of service, you know there is an awful lot that is happening in the life of the church, but we want to take a few moments to highlight a few announcements for you this morning. We're going to do so this morning, leading off with Reverend Brian Kilpatrick, who serves as our Associate Pastor of Discipleship. Pastor Brian?
Good morning, church. Y'all doing okay today? Good. Well, the reason I'm up here this morning is I just wanted to let everybody know that as summer begins to wind down, we are in the process of preparing our fall class schedule and selection. And so this is your first official heads up that if you are somebody who might be interested in leading a class as a part of your faith journey to help the church out, come and talk to me. You can talk to Erica in the office. We are going to start putting that weekly schedule of classes together here in the next couple of weeks. So whether you're planning on wanting to do a Bible study or a book study or a topic study, I'm willing to hear your ideas. So just come and let us know in the weeks ahead so that we can get that fall class schedule finalized so that we can continue to run as smoothly as possible here at Midland First United Methodist Church. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Pastor Brian, for extending that invitation. Next, I'm going to invite forward Dan Morgenstern, serves on our Strategic Leadership Council with an announcement regarding a coming up meet and greet.
Good morning. As part of our ongoing effort to welcome the Kilpatricks to both our church and to Midland, the SLC is hosting a family-friendly meet and greet at Plymouth, or on Wednesday, July 29th. It says Tuesday there, it's really Wednesday. At Plymouth Park, Pavilion F, that's the one closest to the fun zone, from 6 to 8 p.m. Three things to highlight. One, all are welcome, even if you don't plan to play at the fun zone. Second, it is Wednesday, to reiterate, not Tuesday, don't go on Tuesday, it's Wednesday. And finally, light refreshments and dessert will be provided. I hope to see you all there.
Thank you, Dan. Wonderful opportunity coming up to meet Pastor Brian, to meet Ashley, Cecilia, Lucas, and Bradley. Looking forward to that opportunity to welcome the Kilpatricks. Next up, I want to share some quick reminders regarding next weekend, a wonderful weekend here at the church. We have our well-being workshop with the Midland Area Well-Being Coalition. That's Saturday, July 25th. We're looking at navigating stress and struggle, self-care with compassion. Our facilitator will once again be Sarah Weisbarth. So looking forward to that time together as a congregation. You got the QR code in your bulletin and also on this screen in front of you. Encourage you to sign up and let us know that you'll be with us so we can prepare for your presence with us. And then the next days, Sunday, July 26th, we have our special day with Reverend Rebecca Simon Peter here at Midland First. She'll be preaching at the 10 a.m. service, followed up with a lunch and learn. Reminder that the lunch part is for those staying to learn. So make sure to please sign up so we are also ready for you. The deadline to sign up for the lunch and learn is this coming Wednesday, July 22nd. The entire day, from worship to the workshop afterwards, is about dreaming God-sized dreams and in taking on or embracing a mindset that welcomes miracles in our lives. So encourage all to attend. All are welcome either to the well-being workshop on that Saturday or the day and lunch and learn with Rebecca Simon Peter. Parents, child care is available for both the workshop on Saturday and the lunch and learn on Sunday. Contact the church office if you wish for more details on any of this. You'll also find them in your e-blast. Sign up today, all right? Next, I'm going to draw your attention to a calendar to put on your date. Gosh, we're throwing so much at you. I'm going to encourage you to write this one into your bulletin, all right? I know it's in the bulletin, so maybe you want to circle it. Sunday, August 2nd. Sunday, August 2nd. We are welcoming Reverends Lisa and Mike Kelly. They are the church's incoming associate pastors of member care. They will be introduced in worship on that day. And then after worship, there will be a reception in the parlor where you'll have the opportunity to meet the Kellys and introduce yourselves to them. We are very excited that they will be getting their appointment on August 1 and ready to welcome them as our associate pastors of member care. So I hope that you will bring out the welcome mat. They should be well dusted off. And we will welcome the Kellys on August 2nd.
Brothers and sisters, I invite you to remain standing as we begin our worship service today with a contemporary song that if you listen to the radio, you will have heard and sung along to, Honey in the Rock.
There's honey in the rock, water in the stone, manna on the ground, no matter where I go. I don't have to worry now that I know everything I need you've got. There's honey in the rock. Praying for a miracle, thirsting for the living well. Only at the mercy seat, now I've tasted, it's not hard to see, only you can satisfy. There's honey in the rock, there's honey in the rock, there's honey in the rock, there's honey in the rock. The Spirit is bounty in the wilderness. You will always satisfy. There's honey in the rock, water in the stone, manna on the ground, no matter where I go. I don't have to worry now that I know everything I need you've got. There's honey in the rock, to your plan, power in the blood, healing in your hands, started flowing when you said it is done, everything you did see now. I keep looking, I keep finding, you keep giving, keep providing, I have all that I need, you are all that I need. I keep praying, you keep moving. I keep praising, you keep proving. I have all that I need. You are all that I need. I keep looking, I keep finding. You keep giving, keep providing. I have all that I need. You are all that I need. I keep praying, you keep moving. I keep praising, you keep proving. I have all that I need. You are all that I need. I have all that I need. You are all that I need. Yeah. There's honey in the rock, water in the stone, where I go. I don't have to worry now that I know everything I need you've got. There's honey in the rock, purpose in your plan, power in the blood, healing in your hands, started flowing when you said it is done. Jesus, who you are is enough. There's money in the rock.
Indeed, God's goodness is that good and His presence that pervasive. Here at this church, we have a commitment to the cross. We have our banners at the front that remind us what we care about. They express our values as a congregation. If you might look to my left, you'll see at the very bottom of this banner that at the heart of who we are a church that serves. And we're going to celebrate that this morning and invite forward Weston McKimmy, who served on the district mission trip at CMU this past June. And then I'm also going to invite forward Pat McElvenna, who served also in June, leading up our church's participation in 1 week, one street in Saginaw. And so they are here to share about their experiences in mission this summer. Weston?
Well, good morning, church. So I had the privilege of serving at the 1 week, one street, and I also had the privilege of serving at the district youth mission trip. So we went to the CMU campus, and when we were there, we went to the CMU Wesley Center. Really cool. Recommend checking it out. But we packed rice bags like we do here at the church. And so I really liked the competition of that, you know, battling against my old friends. Who's going to win? I won. I mean, I'm just saying. But one of my favorite stops was the Strickler Center, where people shop according to their assigned budget to meet their basic needs, which my favorite part of doing that was the physical labor, where me and one of my friends, we were tossing these bags, big trash bags full of broken down, destroyed clothes that they couldn't use that were still donated. So it goes into this giant 50-foot semi-truck, just filled to the brim, and then they get 10 cents per pound. So that adds up. Ooh. That's how they make their money, man. A lot of money. But the best part was seeing some old friends from the 2025 mission trip and getting to meet new ones. And it was a great privilege to serve God and the people that He created in this world.
So for those of you who do not know or have not heard of it, 1 week, one street is an urban renewal project that happens every single year since 2013 down in the south side of Saginaw to renew homes, to refresh things, to make a better world for them to live in. So let's take a few minutes to take a look and see what we did from our church this year.
Steady guy.
guide.
As you can see, it was a wonderful week. Project has been going on every year since 2013. Our church has always led a team of people to work down there every single year. I've been privileged enough to be able to have led it again this year. And we bring in people from Midland First, but we also bring in family and friends and other people who come from the community to join our church. We bring people in as far away as Clio, as far away as Grand Rapids, and as far away as California this year. So we've had people come in from various different churches, such as the 2-4 Church in Saginaw, the Freeland United Methodist Church, and the Freeland Zion Lutheran Church, all joining our group. Totaling this year with our group, our team that worked on two houses, we had 31 volunteers, and it was a wonderful year this year. So we got a lot of work done on two houses. You saw much of the slides of the places that we worked on. A lot of painting, a lot of repairing, a lot of yard clearing, tree cutting, trimming, yanking bushes, pulling out poison ivy and everything out there. So it was a wonderful week. I would encourage you, if you have not gone before, to join us next year, because we will be back for more.
Can I have the children come forward, please?
Hi, guys. How is it going today?
Did you guys have a wonderful week? I had a great week, except for that awful, smokiness out there. Yeah. And we're not done with it, but. Something happened to your foot, Adeline? Oh, no. You okay? Oh, I'm so happy to hear. Okay. This week, we're going to continue our study of the Beatitude. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Our memory verse for today is, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. That is from Ephesians 4:32. We are going to do some exploration today. We're going to have some science with Mr. Bob. We're very excited to have him join us today. We are going to continue talking about something that might have made the job easier as we continue to study Mark 2, 1 through 5. Maybe you guys can think about this. So how did the friends show their love for the paralyzed man? Can you think about that? Also, another thing to think about is, what are two amazing things Jesus did for the paralyzed man? What do you guys, can you guys mull on that? We're going to discuss it in Sunday school. All right, so we're going to talk about simple machines and pulleys today to kind of explore how we could get him down to better view Jesus to view him. All right, and let us do a prayer real quick. All right, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you very much for this beautiful day. We ask you to help those that are sensitive to the smoke. May you keep those, help them anyway to as that they don't suffer too much during this time for the fragile people. We ask you that you will guide us today as we do our exploration in science, discussing machines, money and distance, and all kinds of fun things. And we just ask you to help us share your love for one another and help us to have forgiving hearts. We just ask this in your Son's name, Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right, let's go to Sunday school. Let's have fun today.
Teach me, O Lord,
to follow your decrees, then I will keep them to the very end. Give me understanding to obey your word and to love it with all my heart. Direct me in the paths of your commands, for therein I find my delight. Teach me, O Lord, to follow your decrees, then I will keep them to the very end. Give me understanding to obey your word and to love it with all my heart. Direct me in the paths of your commands, for therein I find my delight. For therein I find my delight. For therein I find my delight.
It is good that we are here today as we continue to give our thanks and praises to our God, as we engage in worship and fellowship with one another. And as we come to our time of offering, we continue to give thanks to God, whether we do it financially by putting money in the offering plates or also through giving ourselves as gifts and offerings back to God. So as the ushers get ready to come down and to collect our offering this morning, I want to invite us all to also take some time to give thanks for something that God has done in your life, whether it's the ability to see the sun that we have today, which is wonderful, or whether it's for your friends, your family, your loved one, or just for waking up this morning. Take some time as we give our offerings to God to give thanks for all the good God continues to do. Ushers, you may come forward when ready.
Spirit, create in me a clean heart. Heal this wounded healer and point me to the good road. Lord, I'm ready for a change. Only you can make me change. Change.
give my life a new start and plant in me a fresh seed that grows and blossoms into the fruit of blessing.
God of love, we give you thanks for all of the blessings, both great and small, that you surround us with in this life. We give you thanks for our health, for our friends, for our families, and for the opportunity that you give us every day to come alongside you as you build your kingdom. We offer to you this morning these gifts, these tithes, these offerings. We offer them both financially and of ourselves, that you might send them and us once again out into this community, the surrounding communities, and throughout the world to be a blessing in the lives of others as you continue to bless us. We ask this in your Son's name. Amen. Our scripture lesson this morning comes to us from the Gospel of John, chapter 5, verses 1 through most of verse 9. Afterward, Jesus returned to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish holy days. Inside the city, near the sheep gate, was the pool of Bethesda with five covered porches. Crowds of sick people, blind, lame, or paralyzed, lay on the porches. One of the men lying there had been sick for 38 years. When Jesus saw him and knew he had been ill for a long time, he asked him, "Would you like to get well?" "I can't, sir," the sick man said, "for I have no one to put me into the pool when the water bubbles up. Someone else always gets there ahead of me." Jesus told him, "Stand up, pick up your mat, and walk." Instantly, the man was healed. He rolled up his sleeping mat and began to walk. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
As we spend time in the word this morning, a couple of things to note. One of the ways that my sinuses are responding to, I believe, the smoke that we're having is that I have lost most of my hearing in my left ear. And so if I'm asking you to repeat yourself after worship, that is why. And it sounds like I'm talking with an earplug in my left ear. So if I'm a little bit more loud or fiery, now you know why. And then also I want to note, you know, it's just great to see. Pat was so great about sending out updates about what was happening at One Week, One Street, to see the work that's being done. But also to see some faces that are unfamiliar to us and to hear how our congregation is connecting with others in the midst of One Week, One Street. Great to see, great to hear. It was also great to hear Weston greet the church this morning, wasn't it? Like he belongs. Because he does. And it brought to mind the interview process that we had with Brad Wagner, our incoming director of family ministries. And, you know, one of the questions that we asked, I appreciate that our hiring committee wasn't shy about asking direct questions. And one of the questions we had is, what is the 5-year plan, right? What does the next 5 years look like? And he was very forthright with us that is up to us as a church. I believe we are bringing somebody who is called to children's and youth ministries. I believe that we are bringing somebody who is fantastically gifted for this work that we are asking him to do among us. But I also agree with Brad that ultimately where these ministries go, our children's and youth ministry goes, is dependent upon us. It's dependent on us as parents, be involved with these ministries and to support them, to give leadership to them, to be involved with our children and youth in them. And I also believe it's upon us as the congregation. You don't have to be a parent of a child or youth to be involved in children's or youth ministries. You might be called, even if your children and youth are long past those stages, whether to support in ways that are behind the scenes or in the classrooms. And ultimately, as a congregation, we have a responsibility to make space, as Pastor Brian has reminded me even in coming on board, that we have a responsibility of making space for our children and youth to be a part of us and helping lead the church today. And so when Weston greeted us this morning saying, "Good morning, church," as if he belongs. It's exciting. It's exciting and encourage us to be mindful of that as we spend this time in worship. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Stand up, pick up your mat, and walk. This is what Jesus said to the man in need of a God-sized dream by the pool of Bethesda in Jerusalem. Before we finish today, I invite us to consider what our mat might be. What are our limitations, our expectations, or even our identities that we set for ourselves for so long, and yet they are keeping us from a God-sized dream. The disciple John, whom tradition identifies as the disciple whom Jesus loved, records this miracle in the 5th chapter of his gospel. The 5th chapter of John's account of Jesus' life, Jesus' death, and Jesus' resurrection. And here John places his healing among a series of signs that reveal who Jesus is and all that's possible in Jesus' presence and through Jesus' power. And so John lays out in chapter 5 with a great degree of detail the location where this miracle takes place. Inside the city of Jerusalem, near the Sheep Gate, was the Pool of the Bethesda with five covered porches. It's interesting to note that archaeologists during their excavations in Jerusalem have discovered an ancient pool in the location that is described here in John's Gospel. According to the Zondervan Illustrated Bible Backgrounds Commentary, the pool was quite large, similar to the dimensions of a football field. Now, I don't know if that's American football or international football, but you might imagine a large pool the size of about a football field. The pool was split in two. It was surrounded by porches or porticos on all sides, with one also down the middle. And according to John, and as was the practice back in biblical times, around the purported pools and shrines of healing, crowds of sick people, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed, lay on the porches. And in this crowd that day, Jesus spots a man. Jesus spots a man who had been sick for 38 years. We think it's bad enough, right, to have a cold during the summer for a week. Imagine being sick for 38 years. Imagine what it would be like to need or to hold out for hope for a God-sized dream for this long, for 38 years. By God-sized dream, simply put, I'm referring to an endeavor bound to fail if God's not a part of it. Imagine needing to hold on to that kind of hope for 38 years. What would this kind of hope require? Would you persist? Would you be willing to take on the necessary mindset? Would you remain open to the prompting of the Holy Spirit if you're waiting for 38 years? All these questions we might consider next week with Rebecca Simon Peter as we explore what's involved in taking on a miracle mindset, a mindset that opens ourselves up to how God wishes to work in our lives. But returning to John chapter 5 and turning to verse 6, there's a simple yet searing question that Jesus asks the man by the pool of Bethesda. And in John's gospel, it certainly reads as if Jesus is asking all of us who need healing, all of us who long for a God-sized dream, all of us who even seek to make a greater impact in this world. So do you remember from Pastor Brian's reading of the passage what the question is? Or perhaps you have that passage open in front of you. It's in verse 6. Jesus asks, would you like to get well? That's the question. Would you like to get well? See, this man had been sick, this man had been disabled for 38 years, and when asked if he would like to get well, rather than answering yes or even no, this man gave the reason why it's not possible. It's not possible because according to some later manuscripts of John's gospel, it's not possible because when the angel of the Lord would stir the waters from time to time, and when the very first person in the disturbed waters got in the waters, and that first person was healed, every time someone else got in the waters before him. To which Jesus said, stand up, pick up your mat, and walk. Jesus isn't just offering this man a suggestion or a better solution. He's calling him beyond everything that has defined him for the past 38 years and to something he can't yet imagine. Stand up, pick up your mat, and walk. It's worth noting, Jesus isn't reducing himself to a genie in the bottle or an Aladdin in the bottle, depending on your age and generation, right? Jesus isn't granting this man his top three wishes. It's not like this man got up and walked into his lottery dream house, right? Miracles don't work that way, nor do God-sized dreams. They're not for our personal benefit, nor do they represent our most outlandish wishes. Instead, God-sized dreams, instead miracles, they glorify God. They point to who Jesus is, and they reveal what's possible through the power of the Holy Spirit. Remind me again, please. What was this simple yet searing question that Jesus asked this man who'd been sitting by the pool, who'd been sick for 38 years? What was the question? Would you like to get well? Would you like to be healed? This picture on the screen is me back in 2008 with the love of my wife, Cara. I was told I don't have to identify that when I use that term, but just in case. It's my love of my wife, Cara, and Reverend Dr. Brent McCummins, who served as Midland First Senior Pastor from 1998 to 2011. The larger group pictured here is the busload from Midland First that traveled to Adrian to participate in my ordination. Now, some of you are smiling because you are in that picture. And this picture brings a smile to me because some of our saints are in this picture. Some of those who were and still are a part of this church's story are in that picture. And while these pictures remind me of some of the most significant times in my life, some of the most formative times in my life, they also come from a season wherein I struggled. Wherein I needed a God-sized dream before I even believed in them in the way that I do today. See, I'm the first in my family to be a pastor. And in all too many ways, I was unprepared for the challenges and the crucible that ministry sometimes is. Some 8 years later, with the stress of life and ministry piling up, Cara would share that she had a hard time envisioning my longevity. Not just in ministry, but my longevity. Not because I would harm myself, but more so because of how poorly I was taking care of me. Because of how poorly I was managing stress. So I understand full well the significance of Jesus asking, would you like to get well? I'm convinced my God-sized dream was planted in me by my wife's persistent prayers. I know that sounds like a really pastor thing to say, but I know this to be true, that God planted the seeds of this miracle in my life through Cara's persistent prayers. In 2017, by the portion of God's grace that goes before us, we call it prevenient grace, I'm convinced that God brought a dream team of sorts around me. And that team consisted of my wife, my primary care provider, my registered dietitian, and my licensed professional counselor. With a supportive family and my God-assembled dream team, God worked a miracle in my life. And the miracle here isn't that I didn't need these individuals, that I didn't need these professionals, that I didn't need their skill set in my life. The true miracle is how God wove all of them together to bring a change and a healing in my life, an endeavor that I was bound to fail at. In fact, an endeavor that I had failed at time and time again until this God-sized dream. While far from having it all figured out or even being able a picture of health today, I am better able to show up as a husband. I'm able to show up better as a dad and for my extended family. And yes, I believe I'm better able to show up as a pastor. As much as I believe that God is planting a God-sized dream in our collective mind and heart and spirit as a church, I'm also convinced a vital part of this is us individually believing that God-sized dreams, that miracles still happen today. These dreams aren't the spiritual equivalent of the genie in the bottle mixed in with our top three wishes, nor are they God-charged personal aspirations or accomplishments. And they are far from us dictating to God what God ought to do. Instead, these dreams entail turning things over to God, perhaps even more than we are able to today. These dreams entail God being glorified and not ourselves. Indeed, these dreams, I believe, entail a longing rooted in God's will. Again, next Sunday in worship and during the lunch and learn with Rebecca Simon Peter, we'll consider what it looks like to embrace miracles today and what it looks like to embrace a miracle mindset. But for now, and in the week to come, my question for you is this. What comes to mind when you hear Jesus ask, would you like to get well? Would you like to get well? What is something in your life that needs better alignment with God and the unforced rhythms of God's grace? What's a relationship that you've given up on? What's a healing that you've decided that's just how it's going to be? What is it that you're hearing when you hear Jesus ask, would you like to get well? May you listen, may you receive grace, and just like the waters in the pool right there, may you be open to how God is stirring the waters in your life. Amen. Let us pray. God, when we read your word and encounter this miracle in John's telling of Jesus' life and his ministry, we might give a passing glance to that man who had not been well for 38 years. And we might breeze by Jesus' question to him of, would you like to get well? We might even walk on by as we hear Jesus say, pick up your mat and walk. That is, until the Spirit stirs in our hearts and in our minds and in our lives. And that perhaps we recognize and see ourselves in that person by the pool of Bethesda. Where we long to get well, where we would persist enough to sit by a pool just to see it stirred. Perhaps we even see ourselves in the calloused heart that offered a reason or perhaps even an excuse. For why he was not yet well. And yet, God, you still chose to work that day and their life and to bring about something that would not have come about were you not to intervene. And so, God, we pray that if there's one, if there are not many among us for whom your word this day brings us by that pool, help us to hear and help us to speak out loud in response to Jesus' question. Would you like to get well? Indeed, oh God, in this day and in the week to come, plant your God-sized dreams in our life and in our faith. For indeed, we trust that you are planting that dream also in the lives of others and in this community not yet here. Indeed, we will look back, O God, on this day and give you the glory, for we know that you are good. And all this we pray as we pray the prayer that Jesus has taught us to pray, praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I invite you to stand as you are able and to join us in our closing hymn, Where Cross the Crowded Ways of Life. You'll find this on page 427 of the hymnal or on the screen in front of you. Today we'll be singing verses 1, 2, 5, and 6.
Thank you.
wonderful family. Truly do. Not perfect, but wonderful. I have a wonderful marriage. Not perfect, but it's wonderful. And through the blessing of our annual conference, I have access to wonderful health care. While all those have come to play in my life, I'm standing here where I am today because I know God's grace to be that real and that powerful. And I have a desire for this church to have a God-sized dream, but because of how God has wired my heart and how God has wired my mind, I have this desire that you would know this grace in your life. That if you're sitting by a pool of Bethesda needing healing and needing grace and needing a God-sized dream, that you know, that you would know it is real. And so this week, what might you hear? How might you respond in hearing Jesus ask, "Would you like to get well?" Amen. Amen.